Our next speaker this morning will be Brother Doug Newell IV. He will from Wake Forest, the great state of North Carolina, and he will preach on why preach church truths. Turn to the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 1. And we can't express our gratitude enough to the church here for the kindness that they've shown to me and my wife and my family. And we just thank you for your love that you've distributed to us. And we ask that you pray for us and the church there in Wake Forest. 2 Peter, chapter number 1. We'll start in verse number 10. It says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent, put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even so our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." Why preach the church truth? Why should we preach these truths? And I think every Baptist needs to answer that question. I don't believe this is just a message for pastors and preachers, but for every member of one of the Lord's churches. The church can grow tired of hearing the truth until you get somebody to come in that's not going to preach the truth. They could fire the pastor that preaches truth and have somebody in that preaches error. So it's not just an issue for preachers, but why should the truth be preached of the Lord's church in the Lord's church? We had a couple attended our assembly the week after I got my subject. And I had an outline and got there and just didn't feel like the Lord would have me to preach that. And I preached on the church. And I used as an example to contrast the Methodists. And I showed how the Lord's church was founded by Christ. Their church was founded by a man. And, you know, just on down the line. And immediately after the services, the couple got up and they were gone in about a minute. They were out of the parking lot. And one of the members came up to them and said, "I talked to them before church and they were really looking for a place to go." I said, "Then why did they leave?" They said they were Methodists. And they kind of gave me a hard time about that and asked who I was going to beat up tonight and so forth. But I thought about that. Why preach church truth? Why preach it? There are consequences to preaching the truth. There are consequences to preaching the church truth. And that was one of them. It would have been a better story if I said that they'd seen the error and came and asked to be baptized. But no, they, like usual, or most cases, they got mad and they left. So why preach it? The Bible is clear in the responsibility of the church, and we hope to answer that question, why preach it? Some people call us dividers or fighters or obstructors of unity or denominational bigots and that sort of thing for not joining with our brothers and sisters, they'll say. Why not just agree to disagree and find some common ground and then stop all the fighting and line drawing? Well, if it doesn't matter, then why would God command us to preach it? And that's what we're going to look at today. Why preach it? If it does matter, it needs to be preached behind the pulpit. And if it's preached behind the pulpit and it's truth, it needs to be supported in the pew. And we'll just say this, that if it's preached, then you don't go and say, "Well, Brother Sam ran them off." You say, "Brother Sam preached the truth and they reject it." It's not the pastor is running people off. It's the pastor is preaching the truth, and you support the message. You don't say, "Well, it's him doing it, or he's not doing this." Well, the first reason I believe is for conscience' sake, and I don't mean conscience like Jiminy Cricket means conscience, letting that be your guide. I mean what the Apostle Paul meant whenever he was on trial and for preaching heresy. They said, and he said that. "And here do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense towards God." Paul was on trial for his preaching and his actions. He didn't let his conscience be his guide, but the Bible was his guide. The Scriptures were his guide. And he would not preach heresy, or he wouldn't water down the truth, because he was going to preach what God, he was preaching God's truth. The Baptists of old would suffer and cruel mockings and trials and scourges and bonds and imprisonment. And we think of all the things that our Baptist forefathers went through. And they didn't do it just because they were divisive. And they didn't do it just because they wanted to be different. But they do it because they knew by the authority of the Word of God what they were standing for was the truth. If church truth, if baptism, if the Lord's Supper didn't matter, our Baptist forefathers would not gaze to their backs and their bodies and their lives to stand for the truth of the Lord's church. As the days go on, it may come to that point that we have to face persecution or stop preaching the truth of the church. You know, it's not so far-fetched as we might once thought it was. So why preach the church truth? Because it's not our truth, in other words. It's the Lord's church. It's His truth, and we declare what is His, not what people want to hear. We know the truth. We know that we're supposed to preach the truth. We know that we're supposed to stand for the truth. And we must judge ourselves, as Paul did, according to thus saith the Lord. And that's what he meant when he had a conscience void of offense towards God, is that he didn't have to lay his head down and pillow at night and say, boy, I lied to these people. I'm hiding the truth from them. Paul declared boldly the truth in all things. He did that he was honestly and faithfully called to, and he did it honestly and faithfully performed it. I don't know about people that know the truth and then compromise on it in order for money or for numbers or so, that kind of thing. Peter said in our text, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. He would not be negligent to remind these people of the truth. Well, you say, well, the church already knows these truths. We'll preach them again. Amen. The church knows them inside and out. We'll preach them again.
Amen.
We have to preach all the counsel of God. How can we ignore how Christ is glorified on the earth? How can we ignore our responsibilities, the limits and the bounds of our authority? We can't be negligent to preach the truth of the church, the Lord's church. And if one is to ignore or water down, you're negligent. You're careless. You're heedless. You're not given the attention that your position requires you to give to the truth. If we don't preach the church truth, who is going to preach the church truth? They can go and listen to whoever on television talk about money and relationships and how to have your best life now and all that kind of stuff. Where are they going to hear the church truth if we don't? If you have a pastor that preaches church truth, thank the Lord for him. If you pastor a church that stands for church truth, thank the Lord for him. As I said, there's a lot of consequences. You could have a lot of people. You could have this many people every Sunday. You have prestige in the community if you only ignore the church truth. Ignore alien baptism just that one time. And then you got this person, their whole family will start coming. Just start serving grape juice. Just make a small compromise. And then you'll have this family might start coming. Have a big time of evangelists come in from another denomination. Share the pulpit with them. Bring in a big crowd. Just ignore some of the things that he teaches on the church. There's consequences to teaching and preaching the truth. We preach it for conscience sake. Why preach the church truth? Because of the concern of the church, the importance of it. These are, I believe, principal doctrines that need to be preached and taught. Look in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 5. Verse number 14. Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse number 14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. If one is to grow in doctrine, if one is to grow in the Lord, we first have to have the principal doctrines. And I believe right here that we're taught that some of these principal doctrines are church truth. He's not saying let's let's go on and not preach church truth anymore. When he says, let's go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. Boy, he's telling these are foundational doctrines. Don't put the cart before the horse, so to speak. These are chief doctrines, the church truth is. They're important. That's why some people who are off on the church, they might be right on the doctrines of grace, but they're off on a whole count of other positions. The truth of the church shows the importance of the doctrine. The Lord's church is not a take it or leave it kind of thing. It should be, if you're saved, it should be your utmost desire to serve God and His church. If you're saved, you should be desired to be baptized and serve God there. The Lord's church is more important than family. It's more important than money. It's more important than nice homes or good jobs. And I'm serious about that. It's more important than your family. If it costs your family never speaking to you again or standing for the truth, you stand for the truth. Amen. If it's going to cost you money by staying in an area where there's a church, then the church is more important. That's why we preach it, because of its importance, its value. That's why people in the other denominations are so flippant about the church. They don't know anything about it. A steady diet of milk. So these are foundational doctrines we must preach. Another reason why we preach church truth is because continual error in the Lord's churches. Being abundant of error proves that the church truth needs to be preached. We can open our eyes up and see all around this church is going off into different kinds of error. The self-constitution that was mentioned last night and people not understanding anything about discipline and ignoring church authority and that kind of thing. The continual error proves that there needs to be continual preaching. Unscriptural practices show us that that we need to continue to preach these doctrines, even though we know them, to continue to remind ourselves of the Lord's church and its work. We know that God is able to keep us from falling into error, but how does God keep us from falling into error? That's what Peter said. I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Though you already know these truths, we need to be reminded and to hear them again and to be established, to be grounded in the Lord's church truth. How does God do that? Through preaching. By continual preaching on the church truth. I had a chemistry class in high school, and one of the things we had to do was take that table of elements, and we had to memorize that table of elements. And I sat right in front of the chart every day, and I saw it, and we had tests on it. And by the end of the year, I could take the blank chart and fill in everything, the number, the elements, and everything. But the last time I looked at that chart was when I was in high school. And if you gave me one of those charts right now, I know I couldn't get one of them right. Because that was the last time I looked at it, and I put it out of my mind and never thought about it again. That's why Peter said, even though you know these things, we're going to preach them again. It's that important. It's that important. We're going to that you know them and be established in the present truth. We read in Hebrews, they are strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. By reason of use, those who already know and that teach it and preach it and are grounded in it. Because we know that error is not going to rest. Error is not going to stop. Satan's not going to stop attacking the Lord's churches with error and trying to divide and split. So we need to preach it because of continual error. Why do we preach it? Because of the commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a job to do. And if we have a job, we need to know what that job is and how to do it and how to do it right. I used to work for AT&T, and they had a mission statement. They had a goal that they wanted all their employees to do. And you would go in, and they would have that on the screensaver on your computer. And you sat down and you saw that. And then on their mouse pad, they had it on the mission statement there. And they had a cup, and they had it on there, and they gave you a pencil, and it had it on there. Everything that they gave you had that on there. So everywhere you look, on the walls, they had banners hanging from the ceiling. They had what they wanted you to do, and you know it stuck with you. It was in your mind. Well, this is our commission. Why preach church truth? Because we have a mission from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we need to be reminded and urged and edified to go and complete or do that commission. To go ye. We're to go and to preach. We're going to preach the gospel. I believe church truth spurs evangelism. Because if we have a job to do and we recognize the importance of that job and the great duty that we've been called to do, that calls us to go and preach and witness and spread the gospel. We're always supposed to do after people are saved. I told the church in Wake Forest, we started going out and visiting, and I said, what are you going to do if somebody believes the gospel when you present it to them? I said, you need to be prepared to tell them about the church. After they repent, they need to be baptized. Don't go there and then look like a deer in the headlights if somebody actually believes. You know, that's why we're going out there. That's what we're praying for, that people would believe the gospel. And so we need to know what we do after that, to baptize, to carry out our command. We have to understand, if we're going to carry out our command to baptize, we need to preach what baptism is and what it does and what it does not do. And we have to stand for believers' baptism, stand for the truth of the church. And preaching the church truth reminds us that we can never compromise on this principle doctrine of baptism. We need to teach all things. Christ commissioned us to go and to baptize and then to teach all things, not some things, that the Lord had taught. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, is perpetuated on by the preaching of the truth. So we must not only just preach the gospel message, but we need to preach the manner in which the work is to be carried out. Paul told the elders in Ephesus in Acts 20:27 that I have not shunned to declare you all the counsel of God. Paul just didn't preach things that they wanted to hear or things that would draw a big crowd, but he preached unto them the truth, and he preached all of the truth. Prior to Paul's message there, Paul illustrated to him his ministry. If we think of the context, what did he say with that? He said, feed the flock. Now, as I preach unto you the whole counsel of God, you go and preach that unto the church. Just as I preach to you these doctrines and these truths, you go on, and now you pastors preach unto the church. What did Paul preach to the Ephesians? Think about the book of Ephesians. What are the two main themes that run through that? The doctrine and the doctrines of grace and the church truth. B.H. Carroll said that every Baptist ought to memorize the first 16 verses of the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, because it was written to us as Baptists. So Paul preached the church truth and told them to go and preach the church truth. All the counsel, which includes the church truth, to preach about the bride of Christ, where he received his glory, how he established his work, when he established his work, what you're supposed to do, the authority to establish the work. Jesus said, you preach whatsoever I commanded you. Jesus preached church truth. We know that in the book of Matthew 16-18. He preached church truth. He preached church authority. He preached baptism. He preached when the church was started. He preached church for perpetuity. Paul preached that. Timothy preached that. And on and on and on. Those who would deny and say, well, you preach too much church truth, you wouldn't like to sit under the ministry of these men in the Bible. But they preached it as well. So that's one reason why. And to observe. Not only just that we may know what these church truths are, but we observe what they are. That we apply these doctrines. We must preach church truth, but we also must observe. Observe the truth of God concerning mission work. It's one thing to get up here and say that, you know, one church needs to start another, which is true, and it's needful. But it's another when the situation arrives that you observe all things, that we know the practical application of those. It's one thing to talk about church discipline, and it's another to observe all things. It's one thing to talk about receiving members, it's quite another to observe what the Bible says about it and not just ignore it when the time comes. To be bold whenever you need to be bold, but whenever the time when error comes up, they kind of look the other way. Observe God's commands on baptism. We live close to a a Southern Baptist seminary. There's one in Wake Forest. And the Baptist churches just pop up everywhere. There's who knows how many hundreds of Baptist churches are there, so-called Baptist churches. And they have no concern, no desire, no understanding of baptism. And they can't understand what the alien baptism is, but they have no authority to do that. Well, we must preach that and teach people to observe that. And whenever one comes and say, I want to join your church, and you show them that they need to be baptized, because they never have been before, we need just to preach that and to stand for that. Well, finally, why preach the church truth? Because of the consequences in eternity. In 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, in verse number 5, Paul here was charging Timothy, and he gave him 3 examples of how he should be. First, he told him to be like a soldier. Then he told him he should be like a farmer. But in the middle there, in verse number 5, he says, if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Where a man's going to be an athlete, he's got to follow the rules of the game. You can't cheat. You can't go outside the rules and expect to be doing things the right way. If you're going to strive, if you're going to work, you need to do things the right way. You need to have authority, not go out and start on your own. That's why we need to preach these, because these have eternal consequences. This is not just a social gathering or something that we do to pass the time away. But they have eternal consequences. Whether you serve faithfully in the Lord's church has an eternal consequence on rewards. And whether or not you'll be in the bride of Christ, or whether you'll go and you'll hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Why preach it? Because it's that important. It's not that you're going to, it's up to whether you're going to go to heaven or not. There'll be many non-Baptists in heaven. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about rewards. I'm talking about obedience to your Savior. And if you have the attitude, well, I'm going to heaven anyway, why does it matter? You've got a bad attitude. You've got a bad attitude towards your Lord. He died for you, that you should desire to serve Him, not be forced to serve Him, but desire to do it in the right way. So you want to serve Him. You want to be pleasing to Him. And it shouldn't matter if mom and dad is a member of this other church and I don't want to leave that church to join the truth. You need to follow the Savior. And it doesn't matter if your heart tells you to do something else, contrary to the Word of God. Our hearts are evil and wicked. These have eternal consequences. I believe that you lose out on a lot of rewards striving unlawfully or striving outside the Lord's church. How are you going to glorify God in His church if you're trying to glorify Him in a work that's contrary to Him or opposed to the work that He started? That's competing with His churches, so forth. So they have eternal consequences. J.R. Graves, in his book Old Landmarkism, said this: whatever other brethren may do, will you not, my brother, resolve here now to join the noble few whom God is raising to resist the flood tide of looseness, lukewarmness, and indifferentism, which is rendering powerless the protest of the Church of Christ against sin and error? So we preach church truth because God has given us that commission. Because we have the truth and must declare it. Because if we don't preach the church truth, who else is going to? And that because God has called us to stand and to fight and to give our very lives for these precious truths and doctrines. And may God bless you.
And let's all please stand, turn to page 103 in your red hymnal. Page 103.